Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. Joining me, thanks for staying with me if you just tuned in. We're glad you're here. Welcome aboard. You've been listening already. Thank you especially for that, because we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Dr. William Dunkelberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, the chief economist for the NFIB and the former department head, the chairman of the business school at Temple University, now a professor of economics there, and our good friend. Many of you have seen him on television doing his program. You've heard him here on this show for many years, about a decade now. He's been joining us every month to talk to us about what you are telling him. He's polling small business owners across the country and has been doing this now since the 70s, the early 70s, to find out what small business owners are saying about the economy. There is no more important index for small business than Bill Dunkelberg's Small Business Index. He's our good friend. He's here. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. How are things going? What are small business owners telling you, Bill?
Well, they're telling me that things didn't get any better over the May to June period. That's a short period of time, of course, 30 days. But overall, the optimism index that we compute based on 10 different items was unchanged, and there's still, you know, at the levels we saw like back in 1980, 82, or somewhere between there and the 1991 recession. So the optimism index is, shall we say, in recession territory. But looking at the innards of the index, well, we find that the real economy pieces are really not doing that badly, but as McCain's alleged economic advisor said, we have a recession and expectations. I mean, people are whining. People are.
What do you think about
the future?
He's talking about one of my heroes, Phil Graham.
Yeah,
Phil Graham, who I think is a great American, smart guy. I wish he were more in charge of our government than some of the people we've got in charge of our government. I like Phil Graham a lot, and because of what he did. He says what he thinks. I like politicians who say what they think. Are we kind of whiny right now, Bill? What do you think?
Yeah, of course we're whiny, you know, and we have very short memories as well. I mean, I was just looking at a piece from Wachovia about the decline in house prices, and of course they're looking at kind of a weighted decline of, oh, you know, maybe 5 to 10%, somewhere in there. But they forget to tell you about the 40% run-up in prices in the few years before that. So
the madness of crowds that we had for about 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. So, I mean, we're adjusting down from, you know, levels that people never would have expected. But now that they got there, you know, everybody's complaining that, you know, their house price is falling. Well, a little perspective would be good. So I think.
Well, and we've had some help with that too, Bill. Because as I said on the show a few days ago, I saw on one. I think it was CNBC. They were talking about that there was some indicator. Which I'm trying to remember which indicator it was. Some indicator was the worst since the Great Depression. Well, the truth is, the actual statistic was 1930. He was comparing it to 1930, which was 2, 3, 4 years before the Great Depression started.
Right.
And so it wasn't the Great Depression at all. It was 1930, and it was one, and it was one cross section of an indicator, but that was what the media needed to say so they could get our attention.
Yeah.
And so I think we have become a bunch of whiners. And there's a lady that I know who's retired. She's got 3 sources of retirement income and plenty of cash in the bank, and her house is paid for. And because gas is costing her a dollar more now than it was before, somebody said, "How you doing?" She says, "I'm just trying to survive."
Right. You got it.
You know, we get this attitude, and I actually congratulate Phil Graham on really telling the truth.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I wish McCain hadn't disavowed him so quickly and so well.
Yeah, and so solidly. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, well, there are a lot of exaggerations. Another one is the home foreclosures, you know, up 50% from last year. Well, of course, last year was the peak of the housing market, so foreclosures were low. So right away, you know, that's not too much. And the other thing that nobody points out is that a huge share of these foreclosures are on empty houses. They're not putting people out on the street. They're all those spec homes that were built. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever moved in. Nobody lives in them.
A lot of condos like that too.
I include condos in that whole thing. And that,
but the condos really run those numbers up, but nobody was ever going to live in those condos.
No. Well, we did the same thing with single family houses in places like Fort Myers, Cape Coral.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Bill. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, when I say no one was ever going to live there, my point is they were always going to be rented. They were never going to be someone's residence. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. First one is where you can find the show and the replay and the live simulcast and the thousands and thousands of archives of past interviews like the one we're doing right now. A whole body of work that Bill Dunkelberg has deposited with us over the year. They're all there in the archives. Of course, we've got articles, thousands of those as well, that I've written or the Brain Trust members have written. We've got the newsletter is there. The blog is there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. All that's there for you. And, of course, don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz. And, folks, you can also find the surveys, Bill Dunkelberg's surveys. We post those every time we get the new one. We post take the old one down and put the new one up. So you can find those there as well. Bill, give us your website, too, please.
Or you can find the last 12 and all the charts that go with it at smallbizbus.org.
Yeah, and it's in plain. These surveys are in plain English, folks, so that even I can read them and understand them. So please check them out, and you kind of. I promise you, it'll help you with your long range planning. Bill, do you ever remember a time? I'm trying to think. Maybe I've gone through something like this, but I don't. I'm trying to remember a time when everybody says it feels like a recession, but technically we're not in one. You ever remember a time like this before?
Well, you know, I think we've probably been in them in various phases. You know, we've invented terms to describe them. There was a term we used to use called growth recession, where you were growing, but you were in a recession. Well, okay, I mean, that's somebody's, jargon, but there's no kind of official meaning to that. I mean, you could argue that we have a growth recession now. We're growing, but not by enough to... use up our capacity. So every month, we do have employment falling a little bit, so we could grow more and keep more people working.
We've kind of had a perfect storm, though, haven't we? With the convergence of the housing issue, the securities, I'm sorry, the financial sector problems, and high gas prices, high oil prices, and therefore high food prices. I mean, isn't it kind of a perfect storm that we've had right now?
Yeah, certainly.
Minus either one of those, we wouldn't be doing too bad, would we?
Exactly. Most of the trouble is tied right to the fact that we just built too many houses, and there's nobody to own them and nobody to rent them. There's nobody here that can live in those houses in any form. So, house prices are going to still fall for a while, and that makes people feel less wealthy. And then, of course, you get the $4 gas and the egg prices doubling and milk prices doubling and cornflakes are more expensive, and you see that every day. So you're reminded of that every day,
right?
And as a consequence, we feel like we're under assault. And then the media multiplies that by 10, and sure enough, everybody thinks we're in a recession.
It becomes a cascade. Talk to us about small business hiring. Are small business owners hiring people, or what are we doing?
No, we're hiring people, and we had an improvement in hiring plans from May to June, which was good, and we had a 5-point increase in the percent of firms with a job opening they can't fill, which is good news. It means the unemployment rate won't rise as fast as a lot of people think that it might. The job market really, you know, if you compare it to past episodes, the job market numbers look really very good, look quite strong. They're weak compared to the beginning of the expansion back in 2003, but compared to weak periods in the past, you know, like 2001 and 1991 and so on, they really look quite good. So, and that's kind of why we, you know, that's consistent with the fact that we see the economy chugging along, keeping its nose above water, when everybody is kind of thinks we're in a recession, even though we're not.
Right. What about capital spending? Are we able to borrow the money for the capital spending that we want to do?
Yeah, the capital spending has actually slowed down substantially. It's looking like a slow period again, although plans did improve, so that means over the next 6 months we might see a little bit more on the CapEx side. That would be good. But whatever it is you want to do, you're having absolutely no trouble funding it out there. There's I think 2% of the owners said that credit was the most important problem that they faced. That's about as low as it's gotten in 35 years.
Especially so, if you're doing business with independent community banks.
Exactly. So yeah. You know, so no reports of any problems getting credit out there. Now, I'm sure there are individuals, but that's always the case, you know. There's just been no bump up in the percentage of people, our owners out there, who say they're having any trouble. 30% of the people that we talk to that are regular borrowers, which is 35%, 30% said all their credit needs were met, and 5 said that not quite all, and that's about the way it always is. Mm-hmm. You know? So there's no evidence that credit crunch allegedly occurring on Wall Street has spread to Main Street yet, and that's been, you know, almost a year now.
What about inflation? That lied dormant for almost a couple of decades. Now it's rearing its head again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really stunning to see what's going on. We have 41% of the firms out there raise their selling prices, which tells you, again, the economy can't
that's good
be that
news.
Bad.
That's you good news.
Yeah, you can't raise prices if you don't have any customers, right? So 41% raised prices and 13% cut their prices and gave us a net 29% with higher prices, which is the highest we've seen in a long time. And, of course, we asked that one question, what's the most important problem facing your business today? Well, the top vote getter now is inflation. Mm-hmm. Every time you open the back door, everything is more expensive. All the inventory coming in, the food.
But if you've got pricing power, Bill, that is not. If you have pricing power, that to me is an indicator, as you said, of a vibrant economy.
Yeah, you know, may not be vibrant, but yeah, obviously you can't raise the price.
Maybe vibrant's not the best way, but I'm telling you what, folks, pricing power is a very important indicator of the health of an economy. We're going to come back. I want to get Bill to talk to us about just his general idea about the overall economy, other areas that might impact you and me, like this global financial situation going on. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. We're visiting with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Bill Dunkelberg is Chief Economist for the NFIB, that's National Federation of Independent Business. Bill, I know there are a few more things you could tell us about the report, but there are a lot of things going on in the global economy, the national economy, the Wall Street part of the economy that's really hurting. It's really having an impact on small businesses. And I want you to talk to us a little bit about some of those and the ones that you think are worth being concerned about, the ones that you think are not. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I mean, one of the questions we might ask ourselves is, you know, the recent bank failure, IndyMac, does it matter?
Right. And everybody might not know about IndyMac and what happened.
Well, IndyMac is a $30 billion asset, a kind of savings bank. Back in the problem we had back in the old SNL, it was more like an SNL bank. It specialized in making what we called Alt-A mortgages, which is a mortgage, if your credit's not perfect, the next tier down we invented was Alt-A. So it's better than subprime, but a weaker than a really good A mortgage. So they specialized in making those. And of course, as the housing boom went along, they lowered their standards and, you know, were less and less tough about who they made the loan to, making sure you were an Alt-A person. And the bottom line is that too many of them are defaulting, and they don't have enough capital invested in the business to cover the losses.
And the FDIC took them over on Friday.
Right. Well, what happens, I mean, you know, so the way a bank works is they take savers' money and lend it out. Well,
right.
FDIC takes over when you don't have enough assets to cover the savers' deposits in case they want their money back.
But so, there was a run on the bank last week, and so basically they got taken over. But what is that? Let's get broader than that. Are there... You know, back in the winter, when all these banks took more capital in from overseas, a lot of people, including me, thought, you know, okay, they're getting it fixed. They know how much they need. They asked for 10. They decided they needed $10 billion. They got 10, and they're okay. But now they're coming back saying they need more. That's kind of frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and it is frightening because nobody likes uncertainty, and that's what happened. We made all those mortgages. We thought historical performance numbers would apply to them, you know, that 1% of the very best would default and so on and so forth, but all those percentages turned out to be wrong. And that was troublesome. That meant your losses were going to be bigger than you thought, but more troublesome was not only were the number percentages wrong, but we didn't know what the right ones were. So you just never knew exactly how it was going to end up. And what we're doing now is just trying to play it out, and as we need more capital, we'll go raise it and see what happens, but it'll stop pretty soon, and then we'll be okay.
Are you concerned about? Is there another perfect storm about to hit us, Bill? What do you think is there another shoe waiting to drop on us? What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think that you know, we're not going to really have, you know, major difficulties. I mean, yeah, we could even technically slip into recession, but we have recessions. Recessions are, from many people's perspective, good for the economy because it flushes out the weak performers. And right, it's a it's something we go through, and for the long run health of the economy, you know, they're regarded as being, they correct the excesses that we get ourselves wrapped up in, like this crazy housing thing. So you have to fix that before you can move on and have a more normal life, so to speak. So I don't think there's anything out there that's going to really take us down. $4 oil, gasoline, we can handle that. We can handle $5. It's not fun, but there it is.
Well, if you look at some of the stock prices and you look at some of the real estate prices, some people, there are going to be some people who get wealthy in the next 2 years, I think.
Absolutely. Just like in every recession and in the Depression, there are people that made fortunes then because of their timing, you know. So as you see the home builder prices, you know, plummet, or, you know, shares in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the banks and so on, those are buying opportunities, and a lot of people will take advantage of it. There's a huge amount of money on the sidelines. So, you know,
generally feel, though, that whatever recovery we're going to have is actually now going to take longer than you and I might have thought 6 months ago?
Well, you know, the reason that the recovery will be kind of slow is that we haven't fallen very far.
Yeah.
You know, to get a fast recovery, you have to have a 1980-82 experience with 15% inflation and 11% unemployment.
It's not that bad. We need to quit whining, don't we, Bill?
If you plunge way down, you can then have a fast recovery out. But if you just barely tip down, it's not going to happen that way.
Stop your whining, folks. It's not that bad. Hey, thanks, Bill, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. William Duckerberg, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.